Lord Jesus Christ in His walk here on this earth. He came and taught us many things. But He taught us that the temple of God, the Spirit of God, could dwell inside of man.
Right.
The greatest experience that we can experience is when we open up our hearts, let Him become ruler of our life. You can be in God tonight exactly what you want to be. All you must do is be submitting unto Him. And when you do these things, then you have given Him the right to mold you and to make you into what He would have you to be. The anointing of the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
His presence is here. There's going to be some inner healing that's going to go on for the next few minutes.
Right.
Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. For there will be a time in this service when those of you that are not filled with His Spirit, He will pass this way. And you can be filled with His Spirit just in the moments of a minute or even less. If you're here and you need a deliverance, He will move again with His Spirit. You yield to it and be sensitive to it, and you'll receive your inner healing. You need deliverance? You're just a prayer away. If you're used now, if you're used to a 2-hour church service, you've only got 15 minutes left. And I pray that you would pray with me, because we want the will of God to be done. I want it to continue its work already here. It's ministered to us in song, testimony. Now I pray that it will minister to us through the Word. I know what it is to be instant in season now and out of season. And you're wishing Brother Stone King made it. I am too. And you may wish it more after a while. One of the greatest compliments I guess I've ever received, my wife told me one time, she said, "Honey, I can always tell when the anointing comes upon you. Honey, I hope you see it in a hurry, because I need it now." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to read tonight a passage of Scriptures that simply says, from Revelation, the 21st chapter, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" Everybody say, "The former things are passed away." "And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Everybody say, "All things new." Let us love the Lord together again and thank Him for His eternal Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Water. Bless the name of the Lord forever. His righteousness is peace. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about your right to a new beginning. Your right to a new beginning. These passages of Scriptures that we read to you tonight, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." We understand that when a man or a woman is born of God, the old things are passed away. And the Scripture says, "Behold, all things are new." Do you remember the hour that your new life came in? Do you remember the day that you were on your knees, standing somewhere in the church, lifting your hands to God, and all of a sudden, your right to a brand new beginning came a part of your total being? You was anointed of God, and the Holy Ghost dwelt within you, and all the change that came over you. Since then, there have been some tiring hours. There's been some trying. There's been the hours that you said, should I give up or should I continue on? There's been trials and there's been tests and there's been persecution. Though the temptations would come, the Lord Jesus Christ made you a promise that He with every temptation would prepare and make a way for your escape. And hasn't He stood true to His part? He has, hadn't He? In the times of testing, in the moment of depression, somewhere out of seem like nowhere, the Spirit of refreshing came upon us. And again, we was anointed of the Lord. And our trial became small because it was seen through the eyes of the great God of heaven. Now, when John wrote this verses of Scripture, he was on a small island on the sea between what is now called Turkey and Greece. It was the name of the island was Patmos. It was no island to which Rome was just accustomed to primarily. It was an island to which Rome would banish all of those that were Christians because they were considered dangerous characters. John was one of those. So he was set upon this island, supposedly out of nowhere. An island for him to die on, with no hope of him ever being alive again or ever being heard of again. It was to be over for his life. You see, John was there because he was a Christian. And as a Christian, he had refused to worship the emperor. He said, "I'll not bow down and worship man, because I will worship the living God." He had quite an experience before that he came to this island. Matter of fact, you remember, he was cast into a boiling pot of oil. But something happened to him. He was to experience something he had never experienced before. For when they pitched him in, those standing around thought sure it would be over with him. But all of a sudden, emerging from that pot of boiling oil was that John. They said, "We can't kill him. Something's got a hold of him. Something's in him. He always comes back with this life." Oh, hallelujah. And out of this boiling oil came John. A John that would again become a seer. That again in his moment of his darkest trials would be heard of with a revelation like never heard of before all men. For John, it was supposed to be ended. But God said, "John, though they throw you in this oil, you've got a right to something better than this. It will not seem as though to your flesh that it's the most beautiful thing in the world. But there's going to be a moment that we're going to have a meeting again. And through this meeting, you'll be able to bring forth a vision that a lot of people will not even understand. And some of it, John, I'll have to tell you, you can't write it. because people would not really understand it. It would be so glorious, it would be so powerful, that people, they would only think it to be a fairy tale. Again, John met the Master. He didn't meet Him when the situations were real beautiful. And the fact, it was a trial. Here He had been cast out. He was an objector to the Roman empire. He didn't fit in there. And because He didn't fit in, they wanted to make sure that He didn't fit in anywhere. The devil makes a fool out of a lot of people in this fashion. And he lies to a lot of people. For to those that seem like they didn't fit in the world, the devil will make it so hard on them that they'll seem like that they don't fit in the church either. But you must establish the fact tonight, the devil is the father of lies. Now, if you believe him, you believe in a lie. And for you to believe that lie, your soul, your heart, everything you like will be damned. I will not believe the lie. Thank you. I will not believe the lie of the devil. John would not believe that lie. He believed that there was going to be an hour, again, in the darkest trial that he ever faced, that God was going to shine through, going to touch his life again, give him the greatest vision that he ever had. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Amen. It was on that island that he wrote his book. In the blazing heat of the sun, there was the incessant roar of the continuous sea that would seem to speak to him, John, we're coming after you. With every wave that would roll in with the roar and noise, it would say to John, John, you're fixing to die. Your old flesh is going to be destroyed. We're going to roll in and we're going to carry your body out into the depths of the sea. You'll never be remembered again. Oh, you see, the revelation of John the Divine came there. It was on that island that he wrote one of the most powerful books and the greatest vision that's ever been known to man. And even to this point, though we have the Spirit of God, there's some of it that has to be revealed to us, and it will come only with time. As we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, so will our visions enlighten. Brother Barnes, of whom I had the privilege of working with for some 7 years, every day that we would meet, it seemed to me that he always had this fresh new revelation from God. And with his revelation, it was all backed up by the Bible. So that made it a foundational revelation. And I looked at him one day, I said, look, I said, you're 70 years old. I said, every day you come with something brand new out of this book. A new revelation. Not a new truth, because it's been truth all along. But the enlightenment of this revelation, the understanding of it. I said, when I get 70 years old, I said, do you think that this same old book is going to be as exciting as it is now to you? Do you believe to tell me that after many years there will still be new, fresh revelations of this old truth? He said, Brother Braswell, just as long as there's people on the face of the earth that are filled with the Spirit of God, they will come forth out of some of their greatest trials. But out of these greatest trials will come forth revelations that will be so fresh that it will make this salvation just brand new all over again. And it works that way. Hallelujah. One reason why the book of Revelation is hard for some of us to understand is that while John was writing it, it was in a time of great danger. You know, he deliberately wrote in pictures and some symbols. And that maybe not everyone would understand. But you know what? To me, what makes it so exciting, the enemy can't understand it. That's what's exciting. That's what keeps the old devil still knowing that there's still one higher power on the face of this earth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. He doesn't like that. You see, if it were not for the hidden wisdom of God, it could be that the devil would think that he found the strategy for keeping people from receiving some of these revelations. Oh, but let me tell you something. As long as there is the hidden wisdom of God, the devil is still going to have to be guessing. For he doesn't know all truth. And he doesn't know all the strategy that God uses upon the face of this earth. When he thinks he's got God all figured out, here comes a brand new sparking revelation that puts him back to hell. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's what bothers him. I don't know how it was. I don't know how it was with the devil, his angels, his little imps, when the apostolic church was born. But I'm sure he had someone in on every one of those meetings to come back and tell him what was going on. I'm sure he got rather aggravated at some of his little workers. Or they would come back and say, look, that 120 in that upper room, they tarried for a while and then said a noise they ain't never heard before come over that place. Said everybody was together. I want you to know, in one accord, it seemed as though they all were expecting the same thing. And when it came, they all exploded. He said, I left. I couldn't stay no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Couldn't stay any longer. He said, you get right back down there. And from this day on, do not let anybody in any group, I don't care how many's there, don't let them get together in this one accord. For if they do, something greater than this is about to take place. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's tried to separate us all along. But thank God there has always been that two or three. That's all God requested. Now, I don't know if he knew he couldn't get no more than that together at the same time or not. But anyway, he said, just let two or three get together. And I'll be right there in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what keeps the devil guessing. He never knows what's going to happen next to this apostolic church. Oh, hallelujah. Even this meeting tonight, its purpose, its meeting, its background. Single people. Those that once been married, now single again. He'd like to keep you full of fear. Frustration. He'd simply like to tell you that, look, you're on the downhill. There's not going to be anything any greater. But this very meeting preaches that one sermon, and that is, we're not going down. We're going up. We're getting closer together. And it has not been seen yet what one person totally committed to God, what effect that it would have upon a local church, upon a meeting like this. Because you see, when someone is totally committed to God, it seems like that they walk in places that don't even feel quite human. They get this supernatural air about them. And after all, that's what's keeping score, and that is the thing that's keeping the devil at this very moment away from the dynamic flow of God, is the supernatural outpouring of His Spirit. Amen. Praise God. You see, it was on that old island that he wrote, John, in a dramatic, sweeping style, his vision of the future. A new heaven, he said, and a new earth. It would be a world in which there would be no pain, no sorrow, no tears. Death would never separate us. And Christ would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, we wonder sometimes how John could imagine such a future when he saw nothing around him but that bare island. All around that island was pain, torture, suffering. There was death. And the great big, seemingly most disturbing thing in all the world, and that was a spirit of defeat. Let me tell you something. Until your footprints are either on streets of gold, and I'll tell some that says they don't have another chance and there can't not be a new start for them, or until you feel the flames, keep trying. Don't give up. You will be victorious. You do have a right to live. And you do have a right to a new life and a brand new beginning. You have a right to that. That's right. Don't give up. Don't stop. And such a background as this, I wonder, how could he imagine, under all of this backdrop of defeat, God was making all things new? When it seemed to him, or it would to a lot of us, we was in the most bitterest, deadening, frustrating place in all of the world. He saw people with their flesh rotting. He seen bones, whited sepulchers, a leg here, an arm there, a skull over here. Vultures swooping the air, waiting to eat the flesh of John, waiting for him to die. And then a revelation came and he wrote the words, "John, I'm making all things new." Well, God, really, something needs to happen. He didn't question it. He received it. Against the backdrop of deep despair, blackness, the greatest storm in his entire life, yet even greater than the boiling oil. He said, "God, you know, you haven't let me down yet. They thought they'd done away with me, but the oil didn't burn me. I'm out here and you just give me a message that I needed to hear. You're going to make all things new." And the Bible said that John got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Woo. He still believed God in the hour of darkness. In the moment when it seemed all hope was gone, he still held on to the voice of God. He said, "Hey God, you are doing something," because his eyes began to see it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we get in our dark places, our trials. This afternoon, when I learned that I would come to this pulpit tonight, I said, "Lord, impress upon me the message that should be preached. I have not long to study. I need a message now." I said to him, I said, "Lord, I want you to minister to the people. Those that are having internal storms, deep wounded depression, wounds that it seems like that the world and those around us keeps pouring salt into." That's right. Because you see, there are some here tonight, the devil would like to tell you, it's all over. You are what you are and nothing is going to change. I'm here to preach you a message of hope tonight. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You're sitting in the very atmosphere of God's presence. And because He is God, you will be changed. All things are going to be made new to you. A beautiful dream is coming. And the fulfillment of that dream. Your inner healing is coming to you. Don't deny it. Don't reject it. Don't say it's just another one of those times we'll get all worked up and then we'll walk away the same way as we came. Oh no! Purpose in your heart. God is here to bring things brand new to you. You have a right to a new beginning. You have a right to that new beginning. Amen. John, you know, was one of those small groups of people who had been renewed. They had same bodies, same passions, same imperfections, but they had a new outlook. A new outlook. How big is your world? How big is it? How big will you allow it to come? Some people's world is no larger than worry. Fear. The world is no larger than just a bottle of pills. Alcohol. Another fix of drugs. Your world is so small. God wants you to have part of His world. It's a big world. It's a world packed full of excitement. Because God is a God of action. If you don't believe it, you look at His universe that He's created. It's never still one moment. It's full of action. Full of power. Full of excitement. You're not alone. God is with you. His Spirit is in you. All fear will be gone. Frustration gone. Your world is God. And that world is big. So big. You say, well, Brother Braswell, I've got the Holy Ghost in my world. It's no more than just going to church. It's become a habit with us. Just going scheduled services because I'm expected to be there. And you won't know, really, there's no excitement in my life. Though I'm born again. Oh, let me tell you. There is something. There is something. Something that wants to move within you in every church service. A feeling that you need to receive every time you walk in the presence of the Lord. If you have the Holy Ghost, you're quite important. Matter of fact, some people says, in the church around here have heard me say this many times, but it was so exciting to me one day because my world was ending. 6 months ago, I could not even be here. 3 months ago, I might could have been here, but not really active a part of it. Because I had one of the greatest trials of my life. One of the things that prompted me to preach this message. It was a dark day. I was laying in the hospital. The doctors had called my wife, my mom and dad, and said, "We sent your son's to my mom and dad. We sent your son's blood to Chicago to have it examined." They wrote back, or they called back immediately and said, "How long has Mr. Braswell been dead?" The doctor said, "He ain't dead." Said, "He's still getting up and out of the bed by himself." The chemicals of my body was completely destroyed. The calcium, the potassium level was gone. I was having severe muscle spasms. Some even 10 times harder than a Charlie horse.
Maybe you can relate.
And you see, the doctor says to my family, he won't make it. He won't come out of this hospital alive. His memory will never be the same. He'll never be, if he does come out of here, an active part in his religion again. He said, it's too emotional. It's too stressing. He can't handle it. First they said, he won't come out of here alive. I shouldn't have heard him say that. If I was to die, he should have never let me know it. Because, hey, I didn't want to die yet. The devil came into my room that night and he said to me, where is your God now? You've given your life for Him ever since you was 9 years old. You've had a pulpit ministry ever since you was 14. Now, tell me, if your God is so supernatural and you're God, a God of miracles, why are you laying here dying? The black shroud that he was wearing of death, he cast it upon the bed I was laying in and said to me, See what you've done? You've destroyed yourself for somebody that really doesn't care. For in your dying moments, he's not even here to help you. You can't feel him. All you can do is know what I'm telling you is the hard fact. Where is your God? I know what Job meant when he said that he prayed to a God that seemingly wasn't there. But then I said to the devil, look, I'm going to tell you something. I know I'm weak. I know I can't get out of this bed. Not right now. And I don't see my God right now. And be honest, you're right. I can't feel Him right now. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I will not turn my back upon Him. I will not stop. My ministry must go on. He laughed. He said, He's still not here. I said, yes, He's going to show up any minute. Well, He hadn't visited you in the last few days, you know. I said, oh, yes, He has. He's always around. He's everywhere. And I said to the devil, by the way, devil, if I do pass away, I don't have any fear. Because you see, I'm already hooked up for eternity. And I said, you think I'm doing you damage here? When I get over there, I'm going to ask permission to torment you. Where is your God? Your world is passing away. It's all going to be over. I said, if I know anything about God, He is a spirit. For the Bible says God is a spirit. And He don't just break off some of His spirit and put it here. He doesn't just break off some more of His spirit and put it in you. He just comes and joins your human spirit to His spirit, the Holy Spirit. And if that spirit is eternal, it ought to preach a message to you. For it preached a message to me that day while lying there on my deathbed, so the devil thought. I said, His spirit is in me. I know that. I don't have to feel Him. I've got a God that goes beyond feeling. Oh, hallelujah. And it's a God that I know when I can't feel Him, I know He's there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I said, now look, you've asked where He's at. I said, He's fixing to show up any minute. And I said, if you really don't want to meet Him face to face, I would tell you to leave. For He's fixing to walk in this room. And if He catches you here, you've had it. Praise God. And He walked in. And when Jesus walked in, He said to me, son, I've given you a right to a brand new beginning. Come on. Let's get out of this hospital. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get out of here, He said. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, to muscles that would not move, to a person laying there fighting for his last breath, the Spirit of the Lord quickened my body. I walked out of that hospital. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The darkest hour of my life, the darkest days I ever faced, but I want you to know I had a right to a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. I said, God, yes, I said, I have sinned against this old body. I've drove it too hard. I hadn't fed it when it needed to eat. And I hadn't let it go to sleep when it was time to go to bed. And I've wore it out. And if you don't test me, then I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, son, I'll give you a brand new beginning. I'm going to restore your health. Hallelujah. That's right. And He's made all things new. Oh, hallelujah. I was down to 124 pounds 3 months ago. 160 today. Feel good. Hallelujah. God gave us a chance of a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. You say, is there a possibility of a change? Is there a probability within me? You see, I could be too old to change. Oh no. You may say, I'm not quite sure that I want to change. Sometimes it is inconvenient to be the way that I am, you might say. Can I have a change? Oh, yes, you can. For God has come to make all things new. You have a right. John, things are getting dark. Oh, no. No, not for me. For the Lord has just given me a promise that He's never given me before. He's just showed me a revelation like you wouldn't believe. I saw streets of gold, gates of pearl. No crying, no sorrow, no pain. Oh, death, you may creep upon this old island and you may come to take me away. But I want you to know I'm not afraid of the future, for I've just had a brand new vision. Oh, yes, I'm going to a place that's better than the state that I have lived in. I'm going to a place that's brand new. It's full of excitement. It's full of life. And there is no darkness there. For it's a city where the Lamb of God is the eternal light. And nobody can put it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If a self-seeking person who thinks it's more blessed to get
than it is to give. If they begin to sing, there is no probability of making me anything but what I am. I am made this way. Oh, let me tell you something. You will be the way to the end of all of your days if you've got that fixed rut that you're in. But oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight to challenge you to stand up. It's challenge you to get your eye off of your trial. Get your eye off of the darkness that you're going through. For the Lord has a brand new vision and He has need of you. Receive it. Receive it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I know that I've got to close. But let me leave with you tonight something that's more than emotional. I know for years people have the idea if they can't see it or if they can't feel it, it means nothing to them. But you see, it's more than feeling. It's knowing. Oh, hallelujah. It's knowing. It's knowing that God is there. Before you feel Him. It's knowing that He has power over all of the works of the devil. Matter of fact, the devil is an eternally defeated foe. The Bible says that God destroyed. Everybody say destroyed. The works of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if God has destroyed the works of the devil, and we know it, stand on it. Assure Him that you know it. And don't talk to Him like He is going to bargain with you. You're not to sit down and bargain with the devil. He's just trying to gain back through you what God destroyed. Hallelujah. If you harbor depression, you see, God destroyed it. God destroyed it. When the depression comes, say, wait a minute, God destroyed this. Get out of here, devil. You're not welcome here anymore. Get out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some people believe that since we're so emotional, that there's no foundation about us. Sometimes all we deal with, now I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. For God's fixing to perform what He spoke to me this afternoon. And there's going to be an inner healing that's fixing to come to you. An inner healing. I'm going to give you some truths right now that the Lord shared with me 2 weeks ago. When you practice this in your daily life, automatically, you're victorious. You know, we make a lot of things out of some of these foundational truths that we shouldn't make. We're human. And a lot of times we take those things that is eternally, eternally. How about love? God is love. And He's eternal. Love is. You have within you the capacity to feel this love. We're used to quarrels, confusions, reduced to frustrations. Love has been window shopped around the world until some make it something cheap. But love is eternal. I'm talking about in the dimension of man, the seventh dimensional love, where God is. Perfect love that casts out all fears. A love you can feel when you don't think anybody else loves you. When depression comes to preach its downcast message. Or you can feel this true love that flows out of the heart of God. Love is, we make quarrels. We cause confusion. But love is. That's the way that God thinks of reality. The way we think about reality is the cold, hard facts. And the cold, hard facts is that love dies in us. Love might have died in one part of your marriage, one individual, in yourself or the spouse, whoever. And because it died, love, you thought, has dealt you a hard blow. Love didn't die. Love is eternal. It always is. We make those quarrels. There's something else that is, and that's joy. Joy is. Oh, hallelujah. For God is the joy bringer. If you're ever going to get a touch of real joy, you've got to have that touch of joy that God gives. Oh, hallelujah. Joy in the morning. So we reach through the night. Joy that is. Eternally is. Joy that says I can have a good day no matter what the devil says. Joy that says I can rejoice no matter what all hell comes up against me with. Eternal joy. God's joy is eternal. It's us that makes unhappiness. It's really true. We make these things. There's something else that is, and truth is. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know truth? All of those that would ridicule, those that would write their own pages, those that would confuse us and tell us we need a brand new Bible because ours is not a Bible of truth. They can do their best to stop it, destroy it. But there's something about truth that keeps on marching. Hell can come against it, but truth marches on. That's right. Depression can come against you. But the truth on the inside that says these troubles are just for a little while. Truth is fixing to find its way. For truth is eternal. There's not a devil in hell or out of hell. There's not a man on the face of the earth. Or an angel. So he be, says he's from God. If he does come and tries to destroy truth, don't listen to it. For truth is eternal. Nobody can destroy it. I tell you what, I like this foundation. Praise God. I've been betrayed, Brother Braswell. People that I've had utmost confidence, Brother Braswell, the reason that I have these feelings right now in my heart is because, you see, they've let me down. They haven't been loyal to me. Loyalty is eternal.
betrayals are made by man. But loyalty cannot be destroyed. It's eternal. What about purity? Oh, thank God for that fresh new touch that comes every morning. That is pure and clean. That erases guilt complexes. Purity. Oh, hallelujah. When it seems like that this life has dealt to you nothing but mass confusion. When it seems like that everything is dirty and rotten and low down. Thank God. We can step in the presence of the Lord and feel that purity. Though living in a world of sin, yet that fresh, pure Spirit of God flows through us. Impurity is made, but purity is eternal. What about this last one? Life. Oh, hallelujah. The right to live. Life. The right to have a brand new beginning. Life. Life is. Again, God is eternal. God is life. Adam and Eve laying there, or Adam before the presence of the Lord came and breathed upon him, was no more than just flesh and bones. But the Spirit of the Lord came down, breathed the breath of life to the nostrils of Adam. And the Bible said Adam became a living soul. Oh, praise God. Living. You know what he breathed? He breathed God. That's all he breathed. And when he breathed God, he began to live. You feel like that you're not really living, I'll tell you what to do tonight. Take a breath of God. You talk about living. You talk about life. Oh, hallelujah. Fears and frustrations will pass away. That says that life is dull and boring and nothing good ever comes out of it. I want you to know when you breathe God, you get a hold of life. Life that is more everlasting. Life that nothing can destroy. Real life. Oh, hallelujah. Sickness has come. Sicknesses is made. Adam and Eve, if they had never sinned in the Garden of Eden, there had never been no sickness. Oh, praise God. Because the Garden of Eden was pure. Not one living germ in it until they sinned. And along with that sin came along sickness that would bring a man to death. But oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. When everybody thought that all man had in them was death. All that they thought that man would live a little while, go to the grave, and then it was over with. God came through with a breath of life. His Spirit is life, and it's life everlasting. Oh, hallelujah. Let us stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life.